Welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
A podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use of open education globally.
Learn more about us at oegglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners
told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you to a global open educator.
And we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
I am Alan Levine, and I'm joined here by my host and my friends to talk about a project I never tire of hearing about, and it's representing part of our review of the 2021 Open Education Awards. And nominations just closed, but I hear there might be a back door if you still want to squeeze something in for the Open Education Awards. And so we think it helps to bring you the voices of people who won these awards so you can get more insight into both the projects and, for my sake, I like knowing more about the people behind them. So we've been doing this by trying to have like pairs or groups of award winners, but this project was natural because it is a group. And so we have several members of the GoGN picture book team that was recognized for an Open Education Award in 2021 for their project that we're going to learn a lot about, an illustrated children's book about openness, but there's much more to it called Together. So I want to welcome Chrissy Narenzi, and maybe you can introduce everybody on the team and also probably mention the other people who aren't here because it was quite a spread out team around the world. So welcome, Chrissy, and everybody else.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you also to OE Global for this recognition of our collaborative work. And as you said, we are a team of eight people in total. And with me today, first of all, I have Paola Corti. Would you like to say a few things?
Ciao. Hi, everyone.
That's it?
Yes, I can tell more later on. Go ahead, Chrissy.
That's fine. Okay, and then it's Odie.
Hi,
Odie. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah. I guess I could say I worked on the illustration of the book.
And we have Nasi as well.
I worked on the supplemental like program doodle fan for playing with the pictures from the book.
I love that, by the way. I could probably talk to Nasi all the day about the code and stuff, but we're going to talk about the project, right?
Yeah, you're very welcome to contact about this and see maybe how you can actually further develop it even. So as Alan said, this was an international team spread around the globe. So we had also Gino Franzman from Nelson Mandela University in South Africa with us. Verena Roberts from Thompson Rivers University in Canada, Helen Polker from the Open University in the UK, Penny Bentley from the University of Southern Queensland in Australia, Paola, who didn't say much about herself, is from the technical team Milan, and Brian Amassas, who was our mentor artist who supported Odie and myself in this process. So eight people in total, very diverse, very spread around the globe, and a project that was supported and enabled by a GoGN fellowship. We need to mention that, and we are very grateful for supporting our wacky idea.
So tell us, like, we want to tell people what it is, but what was the genesis of the idea for this wacky idea?
Right. I love picture books myself, and I know that they are cross-generational and they are quite deep, despite the fact that they seem quite simple. They speak to a wide range of people, and they are generally read by different generations. So often people who can't read yet with people who are more experienced readers. So it brings all the generations together. And the rationale for choosing this format and what we are trying to do was that open education is often discussed, if you like, in a higher education context, almost exclusively. And for me personally, that is a limitation, because I think there is an opportunity and the need to start much, much earlier in educating, might not be the right word here, but raising awareness and responsibility and the opportunities open education actually brings for everybody. So I think a picture book format was perfect for that purpose. I don't know if Paula wants to add something.
No, I completely agree. And also, I love picture books. So when Chrissy reached out to me and invited me to join this group, I was extremely happy, because I know how creative Chrissy can be, first of all. And I enjoyed more than once to get in touch with her creativity. And I'm learning a lot thanks to her. But this opportunity was interesting for many reasons. I think that being able to bring a message with simple words, and the less was better, the less we could add to the text made it even better. I think that it was also for us a way to learn to convey our own messages in a more effective way. And the other thing that Chrissy just said about being picture books cross-generation is a good chance for us to think about discussing about the values of open education with the different generations. Actually, Chrissy, I never told you this, so this is completely new, but when I spoke about this book with my parents, and they are, one of them is in his 80s, and my mother is in her 70s. So, you know, they are considered old people. And for them, it was completely, it was really difficult to think about higher education and the picture book together. But then, when we read the book in the Italian version, it was helpful for them to get in touch with it. And my mother, for example, would be available to record it in Italian for children. So, you know, it's also a way to connect with people who know nothing about open education yet.
Yes, so. And I think that these are important points, I think Paula is making. Also, the less is more, because if you like, we spend almost 6 months, well, maybe 3 months, three out of the 6 months we worked on the project in writing that story that ended up being under 200 words. You know, some people might laugh. I mean, you can write loads and loads in 3 months, but we were 8 people, 6 of us in total working on the story, who spent all these months writing 200 words.
Right. I got so many questions, but can you give us like the synopsis of the story? I mean, I know because I've been reading it, but
Paula, would you like to do that?
So we started, the story is not just the story in itself, because it started earlier, and we tried our best to involve everyone globally in order to decide together, again, this word that will come up a lot of times. We wanted to decide together which would the best animals that we can use as characters in the story itself to represent the values of open education. And we wanted to develop this simple story showing through the actions of those animals that decisions to be made in order to be open can involve different kind of people, of course, out of the metaphor, but people that are not only good or only bad. And that's the first part of our choices. We wanted to involve everyone who wanted to share their vision with us in choosing animals that could represent the values of open education and its antagonists.
Right.
And then we chose the animals that were present in both lists. Because, of course, it's a choice to be open, and everyone can do it. So the story started there. And then we had those 6 animals that had to, well, do we want to tell the story? Really? Do we want it? Because I think that people can read it. Isn't it better?
Well, just... I think we would like people to read the story. Yeah. But I think what we can say is we had the dilemma how to create something that is very simple but also has a story but a deep meaning as well. Mm-hmm. And we struggled. Maybe we can share a bit about the process. We struggled to make a start. And Penny was actually the one who came up with the idea of using the river as a metaphor,
which
has also been used by George Siemens about the knowledge and the flow. So this is something we grabbed a hold on and developed a story around that, how that river was important for all animals, all living beings in that area. And we build in an adventure. And that's all we want to say, I think, at the moment. But while we had the good and the bad built in, not in the sense of good and bad animal types, but characters, in the end, something happens that we can achieve through open education, I think, and we can leave it there, perhaps.
That's very good. But one thing that stood out for me is, like, in the beginning, they knew where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do. And that's often what happens in education. And then things happen which impede or enable that journey. And so that's, to me, that's why one level that it works so well. Also that it's a familiar thing to take this journey.
Yes, and I think what you said there, Alan, is really important. It's that change, isn't it? You have a journey, you have a plan, you have a direction, but things do happen and things can change. I always say learning is change and change is learning. So I think that is built in, and I'm really pleased that you saw that. Maybe we can ask Odie about how he felt working on the characters themselves and with the backgrounds, because what we also did is we built in that were made available by the Rijksmuseum, all these wonderful artifacts.
I was definitely wanted to hear from Odie about this, and first of all, how did you get involved in this project?
Well, I first got involved with my mom. She mentioned the project and mentioned that there was sort of the opportunity to work on it, which seemed like a sort of definitely an opportunity that would be foolish to pass up, considering the fun and the learning, and also how it might help me in actually working on the project. It was pretty cool working with assets from the Rijksmuseum. As mentioned, it was really cool sort of getting the assets and then sort of being able to adapt those to fit the different scenes in the story, and take things that maybe not even associated at all necessarily at first glance, but sort of getting those, putting them into the story within like different shapes and things, and sort of seeing how you can even bring things that you may not first have seen and sort of bring them together to so show the story.
That's great. I was noticing that it's, when you look at the included list of the items that you use from the Rijksmuseum, sometimes it's hard to find them. I had to like really spend some detailed time going through to notice where they were. So and I like that aspect of it. Can you say anything about like the visual style? Could you picture that ahead of time, or did you spend a lot of time trying to figure out what is the like the genre or the artistic style you're going to do in the children's book?
So in terms of the visual style, it sort of came from the vague thumbnailing of the scenes, I think, is how it started. And then sort of looking through the Rijksmuseum artwork online to sort of, for definitely some of the larger pieces, like looking at like the river, for example, mm-hmm. you can find the big artworks that kind of you can use in one or multiple scenes. And then with maybe the smaller props, you can maybe find more obscure artworks to use.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what we need to say also is that we combine the artifacts from the Rijksmuseum, which we used as skins, if you like Odie said, in dressing the bridges, etc., and the scenes more generally. We also created animals from scratch, which are very, very simple outlines of the main characters, which were a result of weeks of doodling and sharing with the team itself, but also the wider community as we were developing. And we did the same with the story. As we were writing, we were refining and changing all the time to address very critical feedback, which was very useful also, and helped it to get a stronger book together, the visuals and the story. So we then combined these very simple characters, which were drawn in very simple colors, if you remember, you know, very bold, bright colors with these backgrounds.
Thank you once again, Audie, for all your efforts in putting, yes, because I really, it was amazing to see this this project coming into light. And at first, we spent a lot of time thinking about the characters. And honestly, it was mostly Chrissy who developed the characters, who drew the characters themselves. And it's easier to criticize or to say, oh, I would do this way or another way when you are not doing the job yourself. It's always easier. But then with the backgrounds that you created, Audie, everything was much clearer. And it was like a revelation somehow, you know. So thank you again, once again.
Well, thank you, everyone, for the opportunity to work on, honestly.
And of course, you had the great Brian Mathers to help you, who's brilliant with his visual style. But more than that, the way he can coalesce ideas, I just enjoy everything. Yes. Kind of.
I mean, having us illustrating the book wasn't the original plan. We had an illustrator, a student who was studying illustration, but something happened. And in the end, the collaboration didn't come to fruition. So we did need help. And Brian was amazing in giving us that help and mentoring us, both of us, through this process, which was very daunting, especially for me, because I'm not a professional illustrator. And Audie is very new to this. I mean, this is a career path he wants to follow. He's going to study.
I'm going to be working on game art soon in university.
Fantastic.
So this was useful for him as well, but we did need help and direction. And it was really amazing how he guided us through this and navigated us through this process.
So you have the book, which is openly published and remixable. And it's, I understand, is it 23 languages it's been translated into?
I think it's probably so around 30, maybe even now. I mean, Gino especially, and other members of the team as well, but also the wider community have really helped us translate the story into multiple languages. I mean, Gino has been amazing in how many Africa, you know, languages from Africa. I don't know if I say that properly now. He translated the story, and all that is available. It was really important for us to do that because we know that we are dominated by everything almost exclusively being in English. And we wanted from the outset, while this wasn't built into the project plan as a requirement for GoGN to translate into multiple languages, we felt that this is an opportunity and a need, and we need to do that now before we finish the project.
Right.
And may I add one thing to this? It was also an opportunity in my case to reach out to colleagues from previous works who are in the video game market. And so localization in video game market is quite a large opportunity to make money for translators. And they didn't know anything about open education. I just reached out to some friends, and they asked their friends, and in between a network of colleagues, we came up with seven more versions coming with from the Asian languages, which was completely out of the picture. And again, coming from people who are not in the open education context yet, but they volunteered. So, you know, it's like a different kind of virus, a positive virus in this case. And also it was honestly happening. Everything was happening during COVID.
Yeah.
So it was also a nice way for us to get in touch with each other So it was a relief somehow. It was not working. It was having fun somehow.
Yeah, and that is what many colleagues said, Paula, including yourself, other colleagues from the team as well, that they felt that this was an escape almost from the bleak reality the world and that all of us were facing at the time, and do something creative, something fresh, something new, something that filled us all with excitement despite the challenges that we had. But we made progress, we did stick to it, and we finished within the 6 months that we had promised, and did actually deliver more than what we had planned. So we have all the translations, we have a number of blog posts and research outputs. Recently, we have just finished a chapter with Paula on how we can use open big joke books more widely in learning and teaching in higher education. So that creates that link, how perhaps there are more opportunities there. But also we have a doodle fund as well. Maybe we can ask Tassi about that, because that's another thing that we didn't plan to do.
Exactly. I wanted to hear about that. So thank you for setting that up, Chrissy. Yeah, Nasi, can you tell us about Doodle Fund and what it took to make that happen?
So in the past, I've made this this program for some of the projects I think we had, where you can go online and it's like Photoshop kind of thing. You can put up a picture and then you can doodle on it with all the different brushes and drag text around, change the colors and stuff like that. And we thought it might be nice to apply it to this project. So maybe bring in the pictures from the book from each of the pages, and then let people draw on them as they want to add whatever they want to. I think we also added the text of the book in, so that if you wanted to, you could drag that around and add it onto the book pages.
Yes, I mean, the program is amazing, and what I specifically like is the text brush, because you can use the brush with the story that we have, but also people can add their own text to it. So in a way, they can create their own OER, they can create their own version of a new story, or make adaptations of the existing story, etc. Invent new characters, play with the visuals and the text at the same time, and then export and download that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It almost makes like the book and a base for almost infinite creative output. Have you seen anything that people have done with it that said, wow, I never would have thought of that, or just that's amazing? I'm sure you
have. Well, we have used it, and Paula was there as well, and Gino, in the Global Culture Jam. I think that was in 21 in June, a 5-day program that I coordinated at Manchester Metropolitan University, and we had invited Paula, Gino, and many other colleagues to participate. But one of the activities was around the picture book. So in that, we created new bilingual versions of the book, but also used Doodle Fun, Paula, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we did.
Doodle Fun for students to create their own outputs.
And honestly, I think that the Doodle Fun is even together with the book itself, it's a great way to show the power of reuse and the potential of a simple way to translate and reuse with a local scenario, a local context, a local environment, local art, any OER, but this one specifically, because if you keep it simple, as we said at the beginning, then it is also easy to adapt it to a local scenario. And maybe the more complex parts that you want to convey together with a specific message can be added with other media. But then you can use the inspirational one, not putting a lot of work in it, and most of all, not having a lot of skills. You don't have to be an expert in anything to adapt it. So the Doodle Fun was very helpful for these two, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And it gives you that opportunity, as Paula says, to do something very simple but useful, to reuse images in an easy way. You're already in that environment. You don't have to import anything. You know, you don't need anything. You just click a few buttons and it all happens in front of your eyes, and you can experience what that actually means, not just to reuse, but also to make changes, to adapt and then use somewhere else. I think it's one of the things that's often problematic, isn't it? Because there are loads of OER out there and they are not reused or repurposed. So I think that gives you that opportunity to experience how easy it actually is, and hopefully will give you ideas of other things that people can do.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you kind of hinted at it earlier about some people being inspired by this for to do other picture books. Or do you have ideas? Well, I know you have ideas, but like if you were to do not a different version, but to sort of like expand upon this idea, have you thought about what you might do?
Paula?
Well, we've been thinking a lot of things, Chrissy. Nothing that started yet as a development. But in my case, for example, this experience was a key to think about other projects which are somehow less creative, but like tools, for example, and design them in a completely with a completely new approach compared to what I would have done before this experience. Because keeping it simple and thinking about not asking adapters more skills than what they already have is now key of my everyday work. So, you know, I learned myself largely from this experience. And even if we didn't make a second step directly, starting from together, as it is now, as a picture book, but I'm sure that Chrissy will start thinking about this tonight, UK time. I think that many of our projects were influenced already, and maybe not just ours. I mean, we've been diving into this as a team, but then other people got in contact with together, and maybe this would be a nice question to ask the larger community, Chrissy.
Yes, I would love to. And I would love to hear, yes, Alan's view maybe or ideas he might have as well, because I suspect he has an idea.
No, there's just so many elements. I mean, the fact that the picture book format, like you suggested earlier, forces you to be very concise and also think so much about how the story is told, both in different layers. And so I was in another conversation earlier today about how things that are written as children's books or children's characters work at both like an adult level to understand difficult societal complexes, but a kid can read it and just get the adventure part out of it, but they probably get more. And I think, you know, that's what happens. I would imagine when kids get a chance to read this book, because it's going to plant this idea about what happens to this collaboration and this adventure. It's not necessarily, oh, this is about education and let's talk about licenses, which is boring, but more about what the potential is by this. So I would love to see some other colleagues sort of take on this approach, because, you know, when I hear you and Paula and Nasi and Odie talk about this, I think you find that, yeah, you get to the end of the project, you get something you're really proud of, but the things that you got out of it will feed so much of your other work. And that almost to me is a model about what we want to do in education. We want students, yeah, we want them to create something and do a fantastic assignment, but we want them to have the ability to sprout that in all their learning.
I think so, yes. I think it's important to create opportunities to fire them up, isn't it? To get them excited and want to learn, not I have to learn, I have to do that assignment, I have to write that essay, whatever. Does it have to be an essay? You know, can it be something more creative? Why would it be better maybe to do an alternative, more playful way? And maybe it could be a picture book, maybe something else, maybe a board game. You know, and one of the things that could happen potentially is we could create a board game from the picture book to accompany the story. Paula, it didn't take to come up with an idea.
Yeah, no, I knew it would have happened. And also another thing that could be interesting to make more playful is how to remix resources together and to play with different licenses, because this is a really tough part of the reuse of OER, and it would be much more fun to play with it, remixing resources which have different licenses. Sometimes you can work out a way to put them together. Sometimes you're not allowed to do that. But if you are playing with it, well, maybe you get more engaged, and also you remember more easily what is the tricky part. What are the tricky parts?
And even for people to think about when they go about creating their work. I was just doing a workshop last week, and someone types in the chat, like, because I encourage people, I told them where to go to get open media and all the sources to get them. And someone types in the chat, can I just use a picture I found in Google? Well, you can, but, you know, what if you didn't? And so, I'm glad there's lots of opportunity to think about this. And I mean, I enjoy anything that sort of is able to communicate in other media than the ones, you know, we're used to. I was, you know, always inspired. A guy named Nick Susanis, who did his dissertation on the structure of comics. He did his entire PhD in illustrated comic format. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so often I think when we talk about media, I refuse to talk about the web in a PowerPoint presentation, because that is not the web. You know, you should talk about the web on the web. And so using the media in much more relevant and interesting concepts is what you've definitely done here.
Very much agree, Alan. It's about modeling, isn't it? And creating experiences, I think, for individuals, and learning through making more instead of learning through telling.
Yeah, and you didn't have to necessarily use the content from the Rijks Museum, but it makes such a, you know, it's not the central part of the story, but it does put a message into what people are reading and listening to. Yeah.
And be mindful, yes, that we shouldn't just download something or whatever or use that we have found on Google, because it's there and we can all see it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about this project, that it's so amazing. I just love everything about it, that you keep on saying how simple it is. But every time that I go and look at it, I see another layer. So the fact that you were able to make it like the phrase, like less is more, is very clear, like exactly the word that's there on any one of the images is saying something. And that's just fascinating. It's an amazing, amazing work. And not only visually, but the story that is telling, the way the project that was built, because that's another piece that we have not dived into, but how you came to bring the community together, ask their opinion, and were able to create this. It's just amazing. And I also wanted to share that the first thing that I did with the book was share it with my nephews that are very young, just as Paola did, but with his parents, I did it with the little ones, 5, 6, and 7 year old. And what's very interesting to me was that the thing that they noticed was like, well, it's obvious, like we're going to do better together. It's like, come it's on. Obvious. Like, of course. And I just, yeah, sometimes I think that we overcomplicate things. And for them, which are very little still, it was, yeah, we can do it better together. And we start here and create a solution if we all work together. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful project. I just love it. And would really, really like to see a series of the characters or something. Oh. I think it would be amazing to see what was the next adventure of these six friends. I just love it. Congratulations for this amazing, amazing, beautiful work.
Oh, that's so lovely and heartwarming to hear, Marcella, also about your view, but also your nephews there. And a series would be exciting, I think, to do. And it's good that you noticed, and I'm sure other notes as well, we start with three friends, and then at the end, mm-hmm. there are six. So it's that snowballing effect, basically. So it would be interesting to see how many friends there are next time in the next
exactly.
adventure.
Yeah.
And Marcella's comment reminds me, I there's a hint of a story because you have the quote from the six-year-old Phaedra Maria. Can you tell me about that?
From Phaedra, yes. I didn't hear. Yeah, sorry. That's a six-year-old girl. Yes, she's now probably eight. It's almost 2 years later. Yes, she read the story and she really loved it. And they used it in her school as well, and that's now in Greece. So the engagement was deep, and her dad, who's a lecturer in psychology, was very excited about this. And the plan was to create a Greek animated version as well of the story, which hasn't happened yet. But she really loved it.
I think that another thing that was interesting in the development of the book, and I somehow discovered it while it was happening, is the different dimensions of the characters, because they change along the story and they are completely different from the relationship in the real world between the animal, its size, and the other animal sizes. It's not only about the colors. And this was another way that adds to the power of reusing and again adapting that is inside this book, and that it was not so transparent to me at the beginning, but then it's again, as Marcella said, sometimes you discover reading it again that there are other layers that we didn't even discuss somehow, right, Chrissy? Because we didn't talked about every decision openly.
Yes, sometimes things happen and you discover them and rediscover and make new discoveries each time you go through. I just had a quick look on the last scene again to remind myself that there is actually a little fish there, Marcella. And one of the ants says, look. So that could be a hint, you know, for maybe the next story.
Absolutely. I think that, yeah, well, just as a side note, one of my nephews, he's big with dogs. And he said, I'm sure they have a friend that's a dog. He said, yeah, I'm sure they do, but they're in the water. So they took him to the field and then they probably have other friends there. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, what would also be nice is based on that, what you just said, Marcella, is, I mean, it's an open invitation for anybody mm-hmm. who wants to create further episodes as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can include a note on that if we haven't already, I can't remember now, on how they can create the next version, perhaps, you know, could be another group of people coming together maybe and creating that second and third and fourth episode, perhaps.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to seeing everything that emerges from this and remixes out of it. And thank you all so much for sharing this and also just for being together and doing together. There's so much that is worth sharing, and we're pleased to have this chance to talk to you about it and look forward to whatever comes next.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the award again. Thank you for your support during the project as well, because we know that many of the OE Global team have provided, you know, kindly and generously feedback on the story, but also the pictures as well, and have seen it coming together. But also GoGN, who generously funded the project as well and made it possible. So thank you, everybody, and the wider community, and obviously all the team members as well.
That's beautiful. And thank you, Chrissy and Odie and Nasi for tuning in, and Paulo for dealing with the heat of the moment and being as energetic as always, and my colleague Marcella for being here. I think I get more out of doing these podcasts than anybody. But we want to thank everybody who is listening to this episode of OEG Voices. And we make this at Open Education Global. And so I went and picked some music that you'll hear on this, some open license music from the Free Music Archive. I found this great collection called Happy Music and a song called Carefree Morning by Scott Holmes Music. And it's licensed by Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial. And so you'll find this episode over at our site, voices.oeglobal.org. And we hope you engage in more follow-up conversations that we set up with the Picture Book team at OEG Connect. So we just so much appreciate your enthusiasm and your willingness to come in and share your work. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, and thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Wait. Hold the music there. Hold the music, Scott Holmes. Here we are. It's the end of OEG Voices. Is anybody still there? We have now a new feature for you. Special, secret, bonus tracks. Okay? We're going to share with you what was shared with us by the GoGN Picture Book team. They got together and recorded a reading of their book. And so
You can go read the book, but why not let the team read it to you? Enjoy this as we exit this podcast. And thanks again for listening to OEG Voices.
Look!
1, 2, 3 friends are on an adventure to build a playground.
What a big bucket you have.
All the better to collect water with. My water. My water. Go away. Go away.
1, 2, 3 friends move on without delay.
What a big web you have.
All the easier to stop you with. My water. My water. Go away. Go away.
Okay, okay, okay.
1, 2, 3 friends move on without delay.
Look!
What a big mouth you have.
All the better to eat you with. My water, my water. Go away, go away.
Then suddenly it gets darker and darker. And the waves get bigger and bigger. They splash and they crash.
Oh, no.
Help. Help.
Help.
Help.
Hold on. I've got you.
Help. Help.
Watch. Watch. Big wave. Big wave.
I'll get it.
That was so close.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 friends build a playground.
Look!
Look! The end.